Wisconsin Eye is in La Crosse, the 2015 Republican State Convention, interviewing 7th District Congressman Sean Duffy. Good to see you again, sir.
Good to see you, too. Thanks for having me.
With the new Congress, you play a much more important role on the, what's the formal name of the committee?
So I'm on the Financial Services
Financial Committee. Services Committee.
I was just given the gavel on the Oversight Committee.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. It's a space we get to oversee the capital markets, banking, insurance, housing, and the Fed with regard to monetary policy and some trade.
Well, but let's talk about the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau.
Yep.
Do I have that right?
Yep. The Consumer Finance Protection Bureau, the CFPB.
Protection Bureau.
It was created in 2010 under Dodd-Frank.
Right.
This is a brand new agency that comes out and says they're there to protect consumers.
Are they?
And sometimes they do, but sometimes they don't. Listen, I think it's you want to make sure that financial products are transparent, that people, when they get a loan, they access credit, they know what they're getting. They know what rates they're charged and how much they're going to have to pay back and on what schedule. But I think people have the right to make decisions for themselves. And what you see is the CFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, stepping in as kind of like a mother goose, a mother hen that steps in and says, well, even though this is transparent and you think it's good for you, we are going to tell you it's not right for you. It's not good for you, and you can't have that product. Well, that's never been the model. You never know the circumstances in someone's life that causes them to need a certain product.
Right.
If they fully know what they're getting, in a free country, they should have the right to get it. And so I think this is a government overreach. It's an agency also that concerns us because it's incredibly powerful, and it doesn't have very much accountability in that it doesn't get its money from the Congress. It gets its money from the Fed. And when you get your money from the Fed and not Congress, you're not accountable really to anybody. And you can do things that normally the people and the Congress would say no to, but because you're not funded through the Congress, you can do it and there's no repercussion.
Time to do away with the Bureau, Congressman?
Well, I think it needs to be reformed. The Bureau needs two main, I have a bill that reforms a lot of parts of the CFPB, but the two main ones are, number one, it needs to be funded through the Congress, and number two, instead of having a director that is very powerful, like the SEC, you need a commission. You need a bipartisan commission of people who make the decisions about the rules that come out of the CFPB. And I think if you do those two things, we can truly focus on consumer protection, because we need to protect consumers. We need to make sure that the products are fair. But you also want those agencies accountable to the American people and the Congress.
That committee also provides oversight of the Fed, right?
Right.
The Fed is on track to, it may raise interest rates in September. Are you comfortable with that? Do we need to hold off on that?
So the Fed has expanded authority in Dodd-Frank. We really don't want to have the Congress come into play in a significant way in monetary policy. They have a lot of economists. And they make economic decisions. There's always a fear that if you let Congress make decisions with regard to monetary policy, it can become political, and that's a bad thing. However, they have a whole new power and authority on the regulatory side. We think there needs to be more transparency with regard to that regulation. You might have heard there was also a leak in regard to the FOMC, the Federal Markets Committee.
Yes.
And we want to make sure that they're transparent so we can find out actually who caused the leak and make sure appropriate action is taken.
Okay. A recent press release that talked about the Unborn Child Protection Act.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that, sir?
This is a bill that would say that if you're in your late term after 20 weeks, this is a time that babies can feel pain and they can survive outside the womb. And with a number of caveats in there for certain circumstances, there's going to be a prohibition on these late-term abortions where a baby can survive and feel pain. And we had a debate on the House floor, and it passed, and we'll see what the Senate does with that bill.
The exceptions would be what?
Well, there's some caveats in for rape and incest, which, you know, those were negotiated, and they're appropriate. But to think that on the day before birth, when you have a baby that truly feels pain, that is only in the womb and can survive, that it's legal federally. Now, we're not talking about state issues, we're talking on the federal side, that those abortions are legal is pretty disturbing. So this is about trying to cut the right balance, saying, you know, where are the women's rights and where are, which the left advocates, for that pretty hard, and where are the babies' rights. And this was an effort to try to, even though we don't agree on all the parameters, this is a way to try to find a compromise.
There's a similar bill in Wisconsin's Capitol that's beginning to get some traction. And I heard the sponsor of that bill, Representative Jesse Kramer, talk about that a new concept here, prenatal hospice. Is that part of the federal issue, sir? Do you have any concept of that?
I haven't, with Jesse's proposal on prenatal hospice, I haven't okay. looked into that, so okay. I can't make a comparison.
The 7th District is pretty unique in size and some of the poverty issues up there. What's your top priority in this session for the 7th District, Congressman?
Well, so outside of my committee, which is financial services, it's about economic growth. It's about job creation. And so one of the issues that we have a big logging industry. And we've had real trouble accessing our national forests to harvest wood. And so it's not just those who harvest our loggers, but it's also all the forest products industry that can't access wood off the national forest, and sometimes they're shipping wood in from other states or from Canada, and that drives up the cost and our inability to compete. So that is a really big issue for us. But what you hear is, especially in our district, we don't have big multinational corporations. We have small businesses, and if you have too much government, too many rules, too many regulations, a lot of these small businesses spend a lot of time just trying to comply with government instead of trying to figure out how to run their business or have more money to expand or grow their business. And that becomes a real problem. If you're a big multinational, they'll complain about it, but it's less of a problem. If you're a small business owner that maybe employs 8 or 15 people, it's a big deal. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to encourage the administration, where a lot of this stuff has come from, to streamline some of these rules and regulations. But on the banking side, which is in my committee, if you can't access a loan, and normally you'd be qualified and you can pay it back, you can't access it whether you're buying a home or you want to start a business or expand your business. This has a big impact on Main Street America. And what you're seeing is small banks around the country are closing, and because all the new rules that have come from Dodd-Frank, they can't comply with them. And if you don't have small banks and credit unions servicing the small communities in my district, the big banks on Wall Street, they're not coming in. They're not going to be in small town America. So that means you're going to a town, whether you're 30 or 60 miles away, trying to deal with a banker in that community who has to go to a banker in Chicago or Minneapolis. You're not serviced as well, and it has a real impact on our families and our economy and our jobs and our small businesses. And so I'm fighting to make sure our small community banks and credit unions can still thrive and survive in this massive regulatory regime.
Follow-up question on logging. Do you want the Forest Service to authorize more logging in districts like the 7th, sir?
Absolutely. There's a ASQ number. There's a sustainable cut threshold that we don't even meet. We're about a little over half of what they say is sustainable. And we think the sustainable number is a little bit low. And so, yeah, that's a problem. It's a real problem. And I think people who make some of these decisions in far-off places in the country don't understand the economic impact that it has on people in our community. And listen, this isn't 100 years ago where we clear-cut forests. We know how to manage our forests. We do it really well. It's renewable, it's sustainable, and it provides great jobs for us. The question is, are we going to be able to still have a logging industry in Wisconsin? And the answer is going to be no unless these forests open back up again.
And final question, the invasive species question. Do you have growing concern about its threat to Lake Superior?
Are we talking about Asian carp?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm the co-chair of the Great Lakes Task Force. It's a great bipartisan group, Republicans and Democrats that have an interest in the Great Lakes, and we definitely have a concern. And the question becomes, how do you actually prevent invasive species, into the lakes? And there's not a silver bullet answer, but you have a will and a partnership of people to come together to make sure we can protect and preserve the lakes. And if you look at what happens in Congress, if you look at C-SPAN and you watch the fights that go on the House floor, to get a group of bipartisan folks in the House and the Senate working together on and for the lakes, it's pretty cool. And we have a great group fighting hard to make sure that we keep them pristine and preserved.
But the invasive carp, they've been gradually, tragically making their way up Lake Michigan and towards Superior, haven't they?
Oh, yeah, they have.
So we are we losing that fight?
Have we lost? I think the answer is still no. But is there still great concern? Yeah. And some of the remedies, whether we're looking at Chicago, folks don't want to do it.
Right.
And it becomes a balance and an education and a greater conversation about what do we do, and truly what are the consequences, you know, if Asian carp make it to the Great Lakes, what does that do to the lakes that we love? And you know, people might be willing to take some more aggressive approaches if they knew the consequences.
Okay, very good. Congressman Sean Duffy, thanks for talking to Wisconsin Eye.
Hey,
good to see you again,
thanks
sir.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.